News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 16th of April, Anno Domini 2006. And you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use.
And it's 8 minutes and.
And 11 seconds after and. The hour and here in Rochester, New York. It is currently 46 degrees.
Thank you.
My pleasure. It makes you happy for me to read the weather. I'll read the weather, the temperature. It is Easter Sunday, which means that Christians all over the world are celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and we're here.
And we also
I don't know what that means.
It's also Passover.
Right?
Passover for
so
our Jewish
have
friends.
So we're going to say happy Passover.
And our pagan friends are not
doing
anything.
Doing whatever.
Yeah. And our druid friends are out in the woods.
He's cool.
So it's, we got it all. It's whatever yeah. whatever vernal equinox celebration you prefer to join, today's the day you get it. We're going to get to the phone, so give us a call, and we'll be talking about interesting stuff. But before we do any of that, of course, we have...
Well, you're digging that out. I also have news. To say hello to my nephew, who is now home from Iraq, Ryan Enright, for 10 days.
Nice.
Glad to get him back, that he's back and safe, and he's heading back out on the 29th. But it's really shocking when you hear what's going on over there and everything else, and quite an eye-opener that, you know, we're here and doing what we do.
Right.
Well, those
right.
folks over there are putting their lives on the line every
right.
day.
God bless each and every one of them.
Yes.
There's no question of that.
Happy holidays and safe holidays for them over there.
Right. We've had in local news, we've had and not local but United States news, 7 people have been arrested in an online fraud crackdown. You've heard us talk time and time again about debit card breaches, debit cards being sold off, you know, 600,000 here, 200,000 there. For example, there was an office supply chain company last year that lost 200,000 ATM yep. and debit card numbers. Office Max, there was Sam's Club had a problem with that. A couple of banks have had a problem with that. The Securities and Exchange Commission has been looking into this. And the U.S. Secret Service arrested 7 people across the nation this week. Part of an ongoing investigation dubbed Operation Rolling Stone. 21 arrests in the last 3 months. 7 people just this week involves local, state, and international law enforcement. And they've picked up some of these people and millions of bank accounts. Millions of bank accounts. So it's dangerous out there, but they're working to clean it all up. And that's... That's kind of a nice thing to know, actually. Too bad, but there you have it. There you have it. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, right now, well, they just had a special on TV about fraud and everything else. The Nigerian scam that we hear about so much, you know, where you're getting the email. Elderly are really getting hit by that. But these folks, you know, protecting their data. I mean, you go and if you fill out the applications at various places, whether it's you know, for a car or anything else, and say you don't get the loan, but if they're that place that you're doing the business with doesn't properly shred and destroy your information, like they were saying, all they need is your social security number.
Yeah,
they have that,
and
they are golden. And but if they're you know not properly disposing of this information that they're getting from you, and it's a legit company, you know, and they're up and up. But if they're not properly getting rid of it,
right,
and other people are going dumpster diving and picking out all this information and get social security numbers, everything, you could really be in a world of hurt.
Yes, you could. So we'll keep you informed as to what's going on with that. We have security news. We'll talk about that a little later. A couple of things going on interesting in the security tango. We'll talk about those a little later. But right
Do
now,
Bob, Bob in Walworth,
Bob in Walworth, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. I had a Windows 64 Professional 64-bit, along with my Windows XP Professional.
Came with it, you mean?
No, no. I had put the trial version on a on my separate drive.
Right.
So anyhow, so when I was post boot, but going into Windows, you know, you select which operating system you want to boot to.
Right.
Well, I uninstalled the 64-bit because my trial period's over.
Right.
How do I get rid of that on that screen so that I don't have that option, so I don't have to choose between two operating systems?
Yeah, there's a setting. Oh, geez.
I know MSConfig, I can take out the boot IMI.
Yeah, no, but I think it's under... Hold on a minute here.
Yeah, there's a way to pick default OS and how long to wait on that screen. It's in one of the control panels somewhere.
Yeah, it's in the control panels, and I'm trying...
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't look it up. I'm running a Linux box today.
Advanced. Yeah, under advanced,
okay.
If you go in the control panel and you go into system properties,
right? Okay.
And there is a setting for startup and recovery.
Okay.
If you look in that, click on that tab, you're going to see... At this system startup, you're going to see two entries there.
Okay.
And you can edit the.
Okay.
And in there is where you can wipe out the line that you don't want.
Right. Okay, which great. OS do you want to boot from, and how long do you want it to wait on that menu?
Yeah.
So you pick the one you want and say, wait 0 seconds.
So go into the control panel under system. You click on advance and startup and recovery, and that should get rid of it for you.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sure. I just realized the strategic problem of running a Linux box here is I can't look that stuff up.
No, I got it here.
You got it there, and that's really what counts.
Yeah, and I've got the Mac here, so we have all three.
We have all three operating systems. Very nice.
Covered like nobody's. You know what was cool last night? I was watching Food Channel, since it is Easter, about the technology of dyeing Easter eggs.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing,
isn't it? And how much that's changed since a kid. Woo!
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites at 19 minutes after the hour in sunny Rochester, New York. It's 46 degrees.
It's not sunny.
Sunny? Where?
For us, this is sunny. There's breaks in the clouds.
You know what meteorologist I always really enjoy watching on TV? And I'm not really sure why. Is it Kevin Williams? Because he doesn't just say it's sunny out or it's rainy out. It, you know, you got cobalt blue skies. And
this, that, and the other thing.
Very descriptive. It's not just, you know, anyway. So
we have here under gunmetal gray skies with just a hint of cerulean peeking
through.
Wait a minute.
You know,
that's
as
right.
far as...
iridescent puce.
Iridescent. Thank you.
You always hear the weathermen say, broken clouds.
Yeah. It's like,
how do you break a cloud?
Right. All right. Before we get back to the phones...
life's mysteries.
New York. And you know, New York's always got to have the biggest and the best. I lived in New York for a lot of years, did theater there. Great town. And only somebody who claims to have spent time in New York can call it a town. You know, everybody else thinks of it as a big city. It's just a bunch of little towns all strung together. There have been rumors about a new Apple store going up in Midtown Manhattan. They're calling it, it's been nicknamed Apple Mecca. And the rumor is it's going to be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, we haven't had any confirmation of that, but the construction is well underway. It's going to be a cube-shaped building. It's going to be on 5th Avenue between 58th and 59th Street. The store is actually going to be in the underground retail plaza of the General Motors building. But the cube shape, the above ground entrance will be cube shaped. It's supposed to open sometime in late May. It might be the first store to actually feature an iPod bar. So we'll see. There's been a lot of talk on the blogs about this, but nothing that's really serious yet. Nobody really knows a lot about that. There have been job postings up for that new Midtown store, but there's no mention of 24/7 work.
What's interesting is that there's already six Apple stores in the greater New York City area, including Long Island and West Nyack and White Plains. But I feel sorry, you know, speaking as a local Apple reseller that's getting squeezed out by an Apple store. It's it's almost a shame they're putting so many of their own stores in one area.
Squeezing out the small
stores.
Who are the people who built Apple, by the way? I mean, I was an Apple dealer 100,000 years ago, and they were doing it then too. I have to say, you know, the official store would sometimes get misshipped our stuff and things like that would go on, and that's long enough now that I don't have any rancor about it. But it used to happen.
We've actually run into that a lot since we moved our store from Mendon to Victor, because now we have a very similar address to Eastview Mall. You know, our address is 7716 Victor Mendon Road. Their address is 7979 Pittsford Victor Road.
That's not all that similar.
It's very it's similar enough that the delivery drivers keep sending our stuff to there and their stuff to us.
As long as you're getting their stuff too, I guess that's okay then.
Yeah.
But it we'll keep you informed of that too. For those of you who make the regular trip down to New York, you'll be able to go to the Apple Mecca store. So we'll see how that goes. Our next caller, Jay in Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jay. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I have a problem with my computer. When I start up the computer, it restarts about six times before I can actually use it. And then about an hour into my session, it shuts off and starts restarting again. Any ideas of what's going on here?
You could have a bad power supply. How old is the machine? What operating system is it running?
It's an old E-Machines. It's about 6 years old with XP.
Yep. Yeah. I think Dave said it right away. It's either the power supply, could be the memory, but it's something mechanical, and most likely the power supply.
Are the fans turning on the back of the power supply?
They are turning, but they're getting louder and louder.
That's what it is. Matter of fact, I had a machine just in this past week. The guy was wondering what was going wrong with it, and I replaced the fan in the power supply. It was so frozen, just sitting there trying to get the blades to move.
Over the years, it gets so caked with dust, they can't spin, so
and
they don't cool very well.
And they're not sealed bearings anymore. They're just, you know, cheaply made. So that's probably what it is. You're getting an overheating problem within the power supply.
Can you buy one of those used?
You really don't need to. Power supplies are $20-$30.
Yeah, you can get a power supply for, like Steve said, $30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just make sure the wattage on it, because you want to get one with a high enough wattage.
If it's an older machine, you're saying it's 6 years old, make sure you get at least a 300 watt.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for your help, guys.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's one of the things that people don't realize is that although the machine can last you quite a number of years, you've got the mechanical parts. There's the hard drive, that's mechanical. All the fans.
Everything that spins will wear out.
Yeah, and in particular the fans. Anybody who's got cats or dogs or they personally shed. those are the kind of things that you know, the fans suck that stuff up. They become less efficient over time, particularly if the computer is near any sort of heat thing like a radiator or whatever, or in the summer if the sun shines on it during the day, that's sort of fair. You find that those are the things that cause the system to eventually start to overheat because the machine has become less efficient.
Well, they're a big, huge, I describe them as a huge vacuum cleaner because they've got to draw the air in from the front and they're blowing it out the back to keep everything cool. So, I mean, you know, just normal day-to-day dander and everything else that can be in a house. And I don't care how clean your house is.
Right.
You know, you're still walking, coming in and out. The doors are opening and closing. And, you know, it's just going to build up. And periodically, you got to get it cleaned out and the stopping of the overheating. I mean, I've got some pictures on my website of USC Dust. As a matter of fact, I've got to update them because I got one. It was so dirty.
How dirty was it?
I filled a huge, you know, one of those large Ziploc bags. It was bulging.
Wow.
That was before I took it outside to blow it out.
Wow.
I was picking out handfuls and stuffing it in, not lightly, stuffing it into this big, I got pictures of it to prove it. Have never seen one that dirty in my life.
You can
I've
help,
been doing it for a long time.
You can help that a little bit by not putting your tower on the floor. Set it, you know, if you just set it up on a shoebox or something, just so it's off the floor directly because of all the carpet dust that gets picked up and blown out by your vacuum cleaner.
And well, generally speaking, a lot of us have our computers in corner areas, whether it's, you know, the corner of a room or whatever.
Shoved up against the wall.
Shoved up against the wall, or even just the fact that it's in a corner, the way the air moves dust and dirt around, it's the corners that collect all that stuff.
Yep.
So you really, it gets blown toward the computer.
So on your spring cleaning, make sure you turn the computer off, ground yourself, and then run a vacuum over it.
Right. That's exactly, no, never run a vacuum over it.
I didn't say touch it with the vacuum. Run it over it.
That's Steve Ray, ladies and gentlemen. When you zap your machine out, he's the guy to call and talk to.
That's why I said stay grounded.
Yeah, stay grounded, everybody. Stay grounded. Uh-huh. It's stay grounded time. We're not just providing computer advice. It's advice for life. Stay grounded. We're going to take a little break. Rob Jason will be in with the news. Is that what's happening next? And then we'll be...
16 clocks in view, and they're all at a different time.
They're all at a different time. I don't know what's going on anymore, but Rob Jason's going to be in with the news and the weather and the sports and all that good stuff. And then we're going to be back with Dave and Steve and Rob and Nick and all of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
The day my longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 31 minutes after the hour, under gunmetal gray skies with a hint of cerulean, it is 47 degrees in Rochester, New York. Happy now?
Hey, what'd you get for Easter?
I got to go to church this morning. That was wonderful.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying, did you get a little basket?
Nope. My daughter did, though. My daughter got a lovely little basket with a book and some peeps.
The Easter Bunny was good to you, then.
The Easter Bunny.
You know what I saw the other day when I was just bored out of my mind watching TV? I saw how peeps were made.
So some things you should never watch being made.
No, I'm just saying. You know, it's kind of... Forget it. I'm done.
You should see the sites on the internet where they like put peeps in the ovens and
microwave
them, and it's peeps torture.
Just so
you can
folks,
look it up on the
you
internet.
You know, here I was trying to bring up a wholesome family type topic, and you guys are talking about frying peeps. You know what?
I'm all set. No, we never said frying. We said blowing up in the microwave.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excellent.
Back in my day, you know, they were talking.
When peeps were carved out of stone.
Thank you. About dyeing Easter eggs. You know how it was a big thing that you did up the very basic colors.
Sure.
And you dipped them in the vinegar with the little tablets.
Sure.
The hot water, the vinegar, and the tablets. Well, it's still a good way to do it. But they were getting into how kids nowadays want to get into these different things where they can roll. They've got a little roller.
Those are so messy. We tried some of those.
They can roll on their different patterns and writing and everything else. No more of this just simply dipping them. Well, if they do dip them, though, they have various faces and stickers,
right?
That they can create their own. It's kind of cute.
For me, my favorite has always been the white crayon, the white wax crayon.
Yeah, white wax.
Because then you don't know what you wrote until you take it out of the
dye. And how completely lame it looks when you know, you do this great masterpiece and it comes out looking like this tiny little blob of nothing. And you think, okay, I'm lame. All right, before we get back to the phones, last week we talked about the Microsoft monthly visitor that we have where they plugged hundreds of holes in Internet Explorer, some of which were over 700 days old. Mozilla has released an update of Firefox where the oldest one seems to be about a month old. So we're already doing that better, I think, than Microsoft did. Nice thing is Firefox 1.5.0.2 also includes native support for Macintosh with the Intel dual core processors, improves product stability, fixes half a dozen problems, and you should upgrade to this. Significant security and stability improvements. Definitely do it. It's real easy to do. All you have to do is under the toolbar. How do you like that? Connection was refused. Why is my connection being refused?
Solar death ray. The Archimedes death ray myth.
Oh, done on Peeps?
They made a little death ray and put it on Peeps.
Nice. All right, so you go to Firefox and just do the upgrade. It's very easy to do. And that will let you get to the latest version, the latest and greatest. Probably the easiest thing to do in terms of upgrading your browsing experience ever. And so it's real easy. Go for it. Go for it today. It fixes some memory leak issues. Fixes common crashes. If you do your browsing in Japanese, it actually has some improvements to that. So go for it. It's 1.5.0.2. So just update it and go. You'll be a lot better off and a lot happier.
One thing I should mention, we mentioned a little bit of it before, was on April 26th, the four of us are going to be going out to do another road show. That's April 26th from 6:30 to 9:30 at the Frontier Learning Center. That's 3441 West Henrietta Road. And you got to call to register, though. So if you call 234-0326, you got to call, leave your name and phone number, and sign up, because it is limited to 120 folks. Should be a good time, like always. And if you don't catch all of this, I have posted the date, the time, the location, the whole nine yards on the Soundbites forum under what the guys got wrong.
Although we haven't quite got this one wrong.
We haven't. Well, we forgot to post it on the main page.
Well, we did that. Yes, yes.
But at least it's in the forums. You know,
we being me.
Yep. Going in there, so.
And while you're planning your week, next Monday, the 24th, Jesse Group is co-sponsoring the Rochester InDesign Users Group. So if you're an InDesign user, the meeting will be Monday night, April 24th, from 5:30 to 9 at the RIT Carlson Auditorium.
Easy for you to say. Easy,
apparently not. We will have Mr. Frank Romano, who's an international expert on graphic communications and has written InDesign training manuals. We'll be speaking.
Luckily, you won't be speaking.
I won't be speaking there. And we also have a Mr. Mark Harder from Wegmans Advertising, who will be discussing the Wegmans switch to InDesign and becoming one of the largest InDesign installations in the state of New York.
Cool.
So if you're into InDesign, check it out.
What's the date again?
Monday, April 24th.
And Carlson Auditorium at RIT. What time?
5:30. And there's information available on the Jesse Group website.
Perfect. Which is?
JesseGroup.com.
Easy enough to remember. Give us a call. If you're in the 585 area code, the number is 222-1180. If you're outside the 585 area code, give us a call on the Choice One toll-free line at 800-295-1180. That's for the hundreds of you listening to us on the podcast.
I still can't get over that guy, though, last week that called us from Beijing, China.
Outside Beijing.
I was talking to a couple folks that go, you're kidding. I said, no. Rob put it up there, and we didn't believe him at first.
Yeah, we thought there was some China, New York that we'd miss.
Yeah, you know.
And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it's *1180, a free call for you. So we're going to go back to the phones. Now we have Steve from Greece on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Happy Easter, guys.
And the same to you.
I've got a computer that's about 10 years old, and we don't use it anymore. We haven't used it in about 4 or 5 years.
Doorstop.
What would you suggest how to dispose of it properly with the stuff that may be on the hard drive and how not to do it in an environmentally friendly way?
Yeah, there's a couple of different options. You definitely would want to go through and erase the hard drive.
Yeah, format it.
Boot a floppy, do a low-level format. So that it erases any data, so someone can't come along and get your data back.
If you really want to make sure that nobody's going to get at it, smash it with a hammer a few times.
Yeah, 10-ton press. But since computers are full of toxic materials and hazardous waste, you can't just throw them in the garbage.
But if it's still working, you can go to our webpage. We got links there that folks will take donations. I mean,
granted, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, we've got links there. Where can I donate my computer? There's a lot of places, even though. It might not be the most powerful machine. They might be able to cannibalize it. Just like that previous caller that we had is looking for an old power supply. I mean, granted, you know, yours, they might be able to pick and parts off of it to put it towards a new machine. The processor might not be great, but say like the floppy is still working or the CD-ROM drive, they can cannibalize it and put it together another machine. So you might want to look into that.
I will do that.
That way it's not going to a landfill either.
Okay, at your website then.
Yep.
You got it.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Mina Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, 49 degrees in beautiful Rochester, New York, we're Soundbites. Are you happy now? As long as I'm making you happy, really, my day is...
supposed to get up to 50 today.
That is professional broadcasting right there.
Right.
Huh?
That's why we're doing it.
You're supposed to at least agree.
Huh?
I said right. That is agreement.
Here... it was a sarcastic right.
Huh?
I'm just saying, two of the best 10 U.S. jobs, just so you know, the top, the best jobs in the United States. They compiled a list. On April 12th, the study was released. The best jobs in the United States, two of them, two of the top 10, are in the tech field. I love my job. Software engineers have the best job in the United States.
They also
number
burn
seven
out.
Is computer IT analyst. So for those of you who are in, it was the study was conducted by Money Magazine and Salary.com. Took into consideration factors of growth, pay, stress levels, flexibility in hours and working environment, creativity, and how easy it is to enter into and advance within the field. Double weight was given to compensation and percentage growth. So that's the way they did it. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the pay rankings are really skewed to the West Coast, where they get paid ludicrously large amounts of money.
I think I'm going to have to talk to my boss. Yeah, I mean, I love my job.
Unfortunately, you are your boss.
No, I've got another boss.
Oh, yeah, you got the real boss.
And I think I'm going to have to talk to her about pay. I don't think I've gotten paid.
Uh-oh. Certainly not
or
what
Or not what
worth.
I'm worth.
Yeah, well, yeah, we can't afford
it. We're going to have to go in negotiations.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so those of you who are actually in the tech sector, rejoice, because you are it. You are it.
It is fun. I mean,
it is.
I mean, some folks think we're crazy because...
Well, it's one of the few jobs that you can't outsource to other countries. Someone has to physically look at the computer and do something.
Yeah. Right.
And right. It's always changing. I mean, unlike your normal jobs, you know, where day in, day out, whether it's a production job or that, each computer coming in can be a whole different can of worms.
Yep, it's a truth. It's a truth.
It makes it, it's fun.
The same symptoms can be caused by completely different problems,
yep.
too.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
All right, our next caller, Jerry from East Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jerry. What's your question?
I've got, I want to get some digital equipment, cameras and video equipment, and I'd like to be able to connect them up to my laptop. What would you recommend to do with that? I want to use also an output that has a video output from what's called a drop camera for scuba diving.
Whoa, on a laptop it's going to be kind of tight.
Depends
on the laptop.
Yeah. Right, some laptops have video out built in.
Are you asking us what laptop you should buy?
Well, I have one right now. It's a compact Celeron M.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like to do is be able to use it for editing and also for recording and for viewing.
Well, you've got it, not with a Celeron. Yeah. Unfortunately, the Celeron processor is the lowest end processor that Intel makes, and it truly does not have the oomph necessary to do high end video editing.
Plus, the hard drive is going to be an issue. I mean, laptops are limited to the size of the hard drive that you can get in them.
Okay.
I mean, you can hook up external hard drives.
Then you lose their laptopness.
Because you're going to be doing video editing.
Yeah, if it's just videos you're putting together for the family, it may not be a problem. But if you're thinking about having a video business on the side, you're going to want a better hardware.
No, and the graphics card.
Yeah. Most digital video cameras use the FireWire input for recording video into the computer and then back out to the camera if you like.
Okay.
So if you've got
that port.
You've got that.
Yeah, it's a little square port on the side.
Yeah, actually kind of rectangular.
Yeah.
No, the four pins are square.
Yeah.
The six pins are a pointed rectangle.
Right. Stop. Yeah. So you're okay with that if you've got the FireWire port.
Okay.
USB will also do it. A lot of cameras have USB on them.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being able to, I don't know much about the drop camera itself, but a lot of the newer ones have optical audio and other types of video.
But before he even gets into it, you know, and spending that money, I'd say don't. Only from the standpoint, you know, you spend that kind of money trying to get it to work, and he's going to be dissatisfied with the performance that he's going to get out of it. It's going to be very frustrating, and he's going to be sitting there saying, well, I just spent X amount of dollars.
Right.
And because of the processor and everything else, it's going to be a waste of money.
Right. And how much memory do you have in this laptop?
I bought it about a year and a half ago. It's
512?
512 plus another 256.
So. Yeah, see, that's not
that's
even a good place
basic,
to start.
Yeah.
You need at least a gig and probably two to do good audio to video editing.
And he's going to need a lot better graphics. Nintendo Wii U, it's using onboard graphics, which...
Yeah, it'll work. You may not like
He's
it. It may
not
be
happy,
very fast.
And I'd
yeah.
rather not suggest that he go that
right,
route with that laptop.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco. All of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
We're not sure what Sean Hannity knows about computers. But then again, we're not sure what the Soundbites boys know about anything but computers. Catch Sean Hannity later today on Wham! Now, back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 53 minutes after the hour, 48 degrees, it's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. We'll go right back to the phones. What do you think? Because
really,
we've got Dan from Geneseo on the line, and Dan's been waiting patiently. Welcome, Dan. What's your story?
Good morning, boys. Happy Easter to you.
And the same
Thank
to you.
Thank you. Windows XP Home. I've got my firewall turned off, the Windows firewall. I keep getting a stupid security box warning that comes up at boot up.
Yeah.
And it just sits there for a while. It's just annoying. I got to go down there and click that X. Is there any way to turn that off?
Yeah, if you go into the control panel and under the firewall settings.
No, security settings.
Or security settings. Under the firewall, you can click on there and tell it that you're just going to handle it yourself.
I have my own firewall. Don't worry
about don't bother
this anymore.
Me. And use zone alarm.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Good for you. Much better firewall, frankly.
Yes, I'm into Firefox and Thunderbird, too. I highly recommend it to anybody.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Yep.
Have you upgraded to the newest version?
No, but I've got a clunky dial-up. Next time I get on broadband somewhere, I will do that with my laptop.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, is there any way to transfer that over to my desktop, or do I have to sit there overnight and download that update every time it comes on?
Oh, there's a couple of ways you can do it. Once you've got it on your laptop, you can, if your laptop has a burner, you can burn it to CD. You can also get a CD from Dave. We'll talk about that a little bit. You can put it on a thumb drive and move it over that way. You can connect the two machines in their own little local area network and move it over that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got a plethora of options to you, Dan.
Yep.
And how about the Windows updates?
The Windows updates are a little trickier. There are ways to do it, but it's a lot trickier.
Microsoft
always prefers that you do it.
That I wouldn't transfer from machine to machine because if they're not exactly in sync, depending on the driver versions and everything else.
It's the same issue with the Apple software update. The program looks at what's on your computer and decides what updates it needs.
Based on the hardware,
and it can be different updates on computers that look identical and appear to have the same operating system.
Now, don't forget, for very, very little money, you can get DSL and go from there.
Yep.
Well, it's not available in my area. I've been trying for. I live out in the country, like a lot of folks do.
Yep.
There's no other option but dial up.
Yeah.
No, there's satellite options, and then there's wireless broadband.
If you're rich.
Yeah.
No. Right. $50-$60 a month. They're coming down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you very much.
All right, that's the way to do it, Dan. Get it on the one machine, and at least for Firefox and all of that stuff, get it on the one machine and then either burn it or put it on a thumb drive or network them or whatever you want to do to get it on the other.
Get a couple of neighbors together and go halvesies or thirdsies on a satellite downlink.
We, of course, would never recommend that because it's probably illegal based on the
terms of service
that you have to sign.
Between neighbors,
you're not reselling.
Out.
Well, no, there's a new record. My in Wi-Fi, the standard 802.11 record used to be about 15 miles to a lighthouse in California. Well, there was apparently a Wi-Fi challenge, and a couple of kids out in the deserts in California and Nevada got it 115 miles
without the horse with no name.
Yeah. From the one mountaintop to another mountaintop. Of course, they had some really serious antenna.
Yeah, right. And on a clear night.
But, yeah, just, you know, standard Wi-Fi, computer to computer.
Right, and in between data packets, they were frying chickens in the beam.
No, it's still only, what, 5 milliwatts or something like that? So, but, yeah. So, yeah, you can do wireless between houses. In fact, it's a security issue we've talked about in the past, that you look at your wireless menu on your computer and you can see your neighbor's wireless router as well. So if your neighbor doesn't have a password, you can use their network,
right?
Which is illegal. So it's you know, wireless is getting to be so common now that it's almost interesting to see how far it'll go. And there's been initiatives in other states. We've talked about it last week. Was it Philadelphia? No, Philadelphia got sued.
Right,
San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They're doing municipal, countywide wireless.
Municipal.
I'm having a terrible time today.
You are.
Municipal countywide wireless access of it, excuse me, available.
Well,
Google is one of the people going to it.
Wi-Fi.
They're certainly talking about it. I don't know if they've actually okayed it yet.
Well, there's so many places you can go nowadays that, you know, you can sit there with your laptop or your PDA and connect through the wireless, all through the Park Ave area.
Yeah, a lot of restaurants and bars have free wireless.
It's becoming a lot more common. It's very hard to buy any sort of portable device that doesn't have wireless now. I mean, it's actually hard to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I've got an old laptop at home that doesn't have wireless, and it's like my only device. It's everything else comes, you don't even get a choice. It's not like, would you like wireless?
It's built in.
Yep.
It's built in. You get desktops with wireless now, the Mac Mini.
Yep. All the Macs have wireless built in now.
Right.
Because it's a pain to string an Ethernet wire from one room to another, so might as well use wireless.
Right, right. Well, and that's true in so many houses. Unfortunately, my house is so old that there are some rooms
chicken
that are
wire
Faraday
and plaster.
Exactly.
Same with mine. Trying to run it.
We've also seen problems in really new houses that use aluminum joists instead of wood.
Right.
And we had a problem with one client trying to get to their patio, and it turns out the big sliding glass door was leaded glass.
Metal will
block the signal.
I have that problem. We have this lovely mirror in our downstairs front hall. It's leaded. Hello.
Yep.
Oh, well. Too bad.
There you go. You're shielded.
If you're one side to the other, you're real good. If you're in that one spot, oh, well. Too dang bad. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. Rob Jason is in. He's going to read the news and the weather and the sports. He's going to give us all the information that we need to get us through this Easter Sunday. On the other side of all of that, we've got more news. We've got a couple of very big announcements. We'll be telling you what those are when we come back. Rob doesn't even know what they are. He just looked askance, or perhaps it was perplexed. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, with each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
That is fun watching.
No, wait a minute. I'd like to set a scene. I want you to just picture beautiful downtown Rochester. Our studios have a nice view of the skyline.
Finally.
That's that street.
That's right. And I'd like to just, you know, picture a nice, calm Easter Sunday looking out and seeing a man trying to crack open the parking meters and steal money from them on this fine Sunday morning. Just picture this. And
he got something. Downtown, swing by.
He just dropped his lighter.
Yeah, he just dropped something. Yeah. Anyway. We have such a, you know, before the Wham Studios, you couldn't see outside. It was in the middle of the building. And we right. couldn't see anything. Now we just, how's it going, buddy? Yeah.
Did he wait?
He's just in his own world.
He's listening to the sound bites. All right.
Oh, my goodness. That's beautiful.
All right, I'm
the
Rob
preferred Linton. Radio show of thieves and criminals everywhere.
That's right.
It's 6 minutes after the hour. It's 47 degrees, and we're just having fun. Listen, we'll be back to the phones in just a minute. So if you're on the line, please hold on. But we do have to tell you what goes on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week, we do a poll. Last week's poll was about XP on the Macintosh. Very exciting news. 301 of you voted, making it tied for number 128 on the all-time hit list. Thank you all very much.
We should mention that this week in a lot of the forums online, people are complaining that their computers won't reboot back into the Mac mode. And are whining about it. And well, shut up. It says it's beta software. It says they're not going to support it. It says back up your system. Okay, reformat your computer and start over again. That's what you right. do with beta software.
Right. People don't understand. Well, that and of course, we blame Microsoft for that. Yeah. Microsoft has taken the word beta and meant go ahead and run it. Everything will be fine. It's not true. Beta software means we're pretty sure this is going to crash your system, but we're not sure how. So run it, and when it crashes, tell us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't complain and tell
us. We don't fix it. We just write it down and thank you.
Yeah.
So we can work on it, but we can't fix it right now because that's the whole point of beta software. So so that's the deal with that. But 301 of you voted. The vast majority of you couldn't care less, 58% of you. 19% of you wanted to know if it would run Linux. The answer, of course, is always yes. A mere 42 of you just absolutely can't wait. And 26 of you believe that Macs must remain pure.
It is a little disconcerting and creepy to see that Windows XP logo bouncing around.
I bet it is. I bet it is. All right. This week's poll, one of the things that we're consistently talking about when we're looking at computers. Thank you. Rob was just kind enough to bring me a cup of coffee and then hide it behind my computer so I can't even get at it. Nice. Thank you so much. That's okay. Can you sip it for me? She's blowing the thing to make it cooler. Here's the thing. We've been talking about desktops for a long time, and what's really happening right now, Windows Vista, as you may have heard, is delayed like about
a year.
And we won't see it for at least a year.
If we're lucky then.
Not really, right. So people are saying, well, if I want a desktop now, what are my choices? The Mac people are, of course, saying come to the light. The Linux people are saying come to the freedom. So the question is, if you were to buy a desktop right now for your next desktop, what are you leaning toward? Are you going to wait for Windows? Do you want OS X? Do you want Linux? Do you want Solaris? Do you want something else entirely? So we're just checking that out. What are your options here? So far, we've had about 60 people vote. 48% of you want Windows. 32% of you want Linux. 15% of you want OS X. 3% want something else entirely. And one lone soul wants Solaris. One lone soul wants Solaris. When you're done with that, when you're done voting in the poll, underneath it, you'll see a little yellow box. You click on Give Us Your Opinion, and it takes you to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com.
He's a mean, vicious, nasty, no-good, baggy-eyed, marble-headed ignoramus.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to know that you found me out. It's so true, all of it. All of it is true. But there you can actually give your opinion, because I know that simply clicking on a box doesn't do it for you folks. When you're done, please feel free to look around asknick.com. We've got reviews and a newsletter that I put out three times a week with information, tips, and tricks, and keen websites, my rants and raves, answers to questions. Everything is in there. And then come back to our website at soundbites.org. Check out the forums. Check out all of that stuff. The coolest people on earth live in our forums, and they're having fun.
And one of the new features that we just added, I should say you added for me, was we've been getting a number of folks that still are on dial-up or just can't get to it. We've now added the Soundbites CD that if you need to get the recent downloads or updates of the various programs that you hear us talk about on the Security Tango, I'm now offering them on a CD that you can either pick up at my shop or have mailed to you.
Right, and you can click on the link in the Soundbites website. You can click on the link on the links page. There's a link for that, or you can go right to the Security Tango website. The fourth choice down in the links is get the CD. You'll notice above that our other new big announcement. I have finally succumbed. I admit it. I have finally succumbed.
Come from the dark side?
I have gone to the dark side. I have started a blog. It's a security blog. I honestly have trouble with a blog. I don't necessarily think there's anything I have to say that's interesting to anybody. That's why I do a radio and the newspaper and all that other stuff. But I finally started writing a blog. It's a security blog, mostly. So far, it's been my random thoughts on various security things. You'll also find that at the Security Tango website at securitytango.com. So not only can you dance the tango, not only can you order the CD directly from Dave if you don't, if like a couple of our callers, you're on dial up and you really need the CD sent to you, which
plus,
I understand.
I should state in there too, though. It's just not the stuff on the Security Tango page. I've also added a few extras, some other items that useful tools and things that I've found over the years on the web that, you know, folks might find handy to use.
Yep. It's a whole CD full of cool stuff, so I'd suggest you go for that. And then there's my blog. Feel free to write. I've got about five things up right now, all about various thises and that. So check it out. There's some interesting stuff up there, and I think you'll enjoy it. And then, of course, you can do all of that right now as long as you don't hang up the phone, because we're on Soundbite. Now, before we go any farther, do you want to tell people about one more time about the Frontier?
Yes, definitely. Deal. We're doing another roadshow. I've posted it up for you folks that say, "Oh, I didn't catch it," and then want to call and find out about it up on the Soundbites forum. But on April 26th, we're doing another roadshow. In case you folks haven't been to one of these, they literally have us come to. It's the Frontier Learning Center at 3441 West Henrietta Road. You've got to call to register, though, because it is limited to 120 folks, and you got to call 234-0326 and leave your name and number if you get an, you know, it's a message center, and say that you want to sign up for the Soundbites Safe Surfing. We're going to literally be talking for 3 hours. That's from 6:30 to 9:30. Taking questions and talking, though, on doing safe surfing and what's involved in it. And it's a big mess out there, but hopefully we can make this journey over the internet a little safer for you and your family. Because, like I said, there's so much out there that kids could be easily searching for something that's very safe and fall prey to various predators and everything else. So
misspelling URLs is horrible.
Oh, unbelievable.
Some of the things you come up with.
So, again, if you want to get in on that, all four of us are going to be there. That's Nick, me, Steve, and Rob being there to take your questions. Yeah, you too, Rob. And he's still feeding his face. But yeah, so, again, call 234-0326 and tell them that you want to get in on the Soundbites Safe Surfing roadshow, and hope to see you there. It should be a lot of fun. I know we always enjoy it. I mean, time just goes by so fast when we're doing those. It's like, boop, it's over, and now always getting to all the questions, because that's one thing folks never run out of is questions I've found over the years.
There's always some questions.
Yeah,
there are always questions, so absolutely.
Next caller?
Let's go to our next caller.
Ed
who
Webster.
Is Ed from Webster, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
I've got a desktop with Windows Millennium software, and every time I boot up, I get a message that my McAfee antivirus program is not installed properly or is missing some information and directing me to reinstall it. My McAfee antivirus and protection system came as part of the software that came with either my AOL or my Earthlink software. And I don't know how to go about doing this. I assume I have to uninstall what I've got. But when I go to reinstall, do I just reinstall my disk from Earthlink or AOL?
No, you have to have the McAfee install disk.
Pete, I just want to, if there's a cop in the area behind the Wham Studios, you got somebody that's trying to break in to a money box.
In the parking lot.
In the parking lot. And we're sitting here up in the studios watching this guy try to jimmy open.
He went and got tools and came back.
And he's literally trying to rifle this parking lot money box.
Or if whoever owns that parking lot.
Yeah.
I think Rob's on 911 even as we speak. Yeah. So, yeah, we're all good with that.
Okay.
So,
I'm talking on my cell phone.
Okay.
I'm now in a run.
Are you in a parking lot? Oh, all right.
I'm parked.
Good.
So I hope I'm coming through okay.
Yeah, you're good. Okay.
What can you tell me that I need to do?
Well, a couple of things. Most of the bundled antivirus programs came with the computer, didn't come with AOL or Earthlink. They're usually using computer associates.
What I would recommend,
the bundles
though,
usually only last for 90 days and then quit working, and you have to buy the full copy.
Since you're trying to run the software on, you know, Windows... what you might want to do is uninstall McAfee and go to a newer version or a version of AVG.
Which is free.
Which is free. It works well under Millennium, whereas the newer versions of McAfee and that, if you try to do the updates and all that other stuff, doesn't quite work right. Whereas I know for a fact that if you go to the free version of AVG, you're going to be a lot happier and keep that machine protected.
Is that Alpha Victor Golf AVG?
Yes,
it's
is.
Right off the Security Tango page.
You can get it at free.gristsoft.com, but if you go to the Security Tango site at securitytango.com, you'll see Tango links underneath that Windows links, and in the antivirus, the middle one is Gristsoft's AVG.
I might suggest that you download Stinger and actually run the Security
Tango. Well, you should run the whole Tango, yeah.
If McAfee's saying it isn't running right, something caused that to happen, and it could be a virus.
Yeah, I would dance the entire Tango and then replace McAfee with the AVG because it's free and it works great. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Crime Stoppers Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Computer talk you can understand. It's Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Adam 12, we are Soundbites. We are Soundbites, Adam 12.
This is entertaining, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we're watching
people
this
watching.
Guy out there. We're having fun. We're having fun out here. All right. Before we get back to the phones, those of you who are on AOL, you may remember we reported a while ago that America Online has proposed pay-to-send email program, where if you want to make sure your email gets through, you pay for that. The free email still works, but it's not going to get any sort of priority. Well, a whole bunch of people on AOL have started a campaign at DearAOL.com about that. Interestingly, when they were talking about it on AOL's own website, none of those emails or postings got through. They were all deleted. AOL is saying that it was a glitch.
And not intentional censoring.
It was not intentional censoring. It was a glitch.
It was accidental censoring.
They had a glitch that only deleted messages and postings about DearAOL.com.
Oh.
How do you even have a glitch that does that? Okay, that's not the point.
I got some swampland for you, too.
Yeah, the point is they're saying, trust us, it was a glitch. Just trust us. For those of you who are on AOL, God bless you.
There was an interesting and rather stupid announcement from AOL this week. Apparently, over the years, there's been a big argument about what AOL stands for. Is it America Online or is it American Online? Well, apparently this week, AOL finally decided once and for all, we're going to change our name legally to AOL.
All righty then, those of you who are on AOL. So it's not America Online, it's just AOL. It is America Online.
Yeah, it was.
It was up
That's
until
I
yesterday,
knew, yeah.
I guess. Yeah, now it's apparently it's are you still?
Well, I was a charter member of AOL when it started back in the early days when it was Apple Inc. Personal Edition.
Right.
And I hosted tech support forums on AOL for probably 15 years or so. Just like everything else, they outsourced.
Yep.
They fired all the volunteers.
Yeah, how do you fire a volunteer?
Because they were giving us a free AOL right. account. So they were paying us $20 a month, and they fired us all and went to higher level paid support. So most of us are still doing public forums and just not under an official AOL badge, and we have to pay AOL ourselves.
I'm telling you, asksteve.com.
Somebody already took it. I looked. when you got Ask Nick, I looked.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Peter from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Peter. What's your question?
Hi. About a week ago, my computer started popping up an error message when I booted up.
Uh-huh.
And the error message is that Explorer has caused a fault in kernel 32 DLL. Explorer will now close. Explorer doesn't close, and when you click on close on the pop-up window, it doesn't go away.
The first thing I would suggest that you do is reinstall Windows on top of itself.
Yeah. I did. Still doesn't go away.
If you still have the problem, have you danced the tango?
Oh, yeah, every week.
That's interesting.
You might have some of those Spyrex or one of the other spyware programs in there.
Well, but first I would suggest that you check the actual hard drive itself. It's very possible that the hard drive itself has a problem. Certainly that's the place I'd go next.
And what would I be looking for there?
Well, run a scan disk, the hard drive, though.
I mean, it's only Internet Explorer that you're having the issue with, right?
Well, it could be that bad spot is where the hard drive has a bad
right.
sector. And
it certainly can't hurt to run it
yeah.
once.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to do disk scan. Scan the disk. What operating system are you running?
ME.
Okay.
Well, I won't go there.
Yeah.
Now
yeah,
you do scan. Have a problem, which is that the newer versions of Internet Explorer don't run all that well on ME.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't use Explorer anyway, so.
What is, well, is it saying? It says, Internet Explorer or Windows Explorer?
It just says Explorer.
That's the Windows
That's
Explorer.
Windows
That's
Explorer.
The desktop program. Mm-hmm. That
yeah.
not it's not now, Internet Explorer.
Yeah, that is iOS. You've already tried doing an install over an install.
Yeah. Yep. Did a full install.
All right. Now that we got the whole picture, then yes. Now I'll agree with Nick that you might have definitely a hard drive issue.
Okay.
There's a program called SpinWrite. That you can do a diagnostic on that. You're going to have to make a bootable floppy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can run that program that'll do a diagnostic on that hard drive.
Okay.
You can get that at grc.com. Gibson Research Corporation, GRC.
Got it.
.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. a great program. It's a great product. Check it out.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, I saw that.
All right. I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah, there I am.
Let's see.
I get a new computer, and all of a sudden everything is in the wrong place and everything is different. You don't know what you're doing. Our next caller is Rich from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi. I had a computer with Windows XP Home. Bought a new computer with Windows XP Media Center Edition. Put them both on an internal network through a router. And I can't get them to, they can both talk to the internet separately, but they can't talk to one another.
You've got the sharing set up?
Yeah. Now, I was told that there was a problem with XP Home, and then I needed to install NW-Link to cure the problem.
No, that's only if you're using NetWare IPX.
Right.
The standard Windows file sharing over IP. What would...
Do you have the Windows firewall turned off on both machines?
Yeah.
And what are you using for a firewall?
It's a D-Link wireless router.
With a hard firewall. So there's no software firewall on the computer?
There is Norton Internet Security.
Bingo!
There's the problem.
Make it go away.
It's blocking everything, including what you want to be able to get out.
Yep.
Okay.
I bet you 10 to 1 odds, if you got the CD, uninstall that Norton Security.
Yeah.
You will get on and be able to see the other machine.
Okay.
Because what you got to do is within that security. Right now, is this version 2006?
Yeah.
A Norton Security?
Yes.
Yeah. I've had more folks have more problems. One, it messes up both the ingoing and outgoing on some machines. The internal network gets messed up. It slows the machine down unbelievably.
Right.
And if you go to, take that off, and you go to, like, for a firewall, use Zone Alarm.
Right.
Use the AVG. Again, all free products, and they don't try to take over your machine like the current version of Norton 2006 does.
Now, I did disable internet security, and I still couldn't communicate.
You got to just remove them.
Remove it, huh?
Try uninstalling it, and I'll bet you this whole experience is going to go a lot smoother for you.
I got one other quick question. I've seen this a couple of times, and I don't know how to deal with it. If you got Windows XP Pro on a hard drive, and you need to put it into another machine just USB box or something, and you run into security, it won't be access denied. How do I?
Right. Well, see, anytime you take Windows hard drive out of one machine and try to put it in another,
right,
it's always going to have a problem. You can't do that. Because Windows XP, when it's loaded up, looks at the specific hardware in that particular machine. So when you try to move it over to another machine, it says, I ain't working right because I'm not in my regular environment. You've switched my environment.
I wasn't trying to boot from it. All I wanted to do was copy files off it, so I put it in a USB box, or I put it in.
Right. But you're not the owner of those files anymore because it didn't boot from that disk.
And you've got to change the sharing and settings and everything else for that hard drive, even though you put it in, say, another box in an external enclosure.
Right. It's a security feature to prevent someone from stealing a hard drive and getting the data to it.
Okay, so I have to put the thing back in its original.
No, you can leave it in that USB box. But you've got to right-click on that hard drive and change the security settings.
Okay, and where do I do that?
Again, once it's mounted on the desktop, right-click on it, and you'll get a list of choices, one of which is the security settings. Make sure you become the owner of that entire box and tell it to not only do that one drive, but all the subdirectories. That will take quite a while, depending on how full that drive is. But when you're done, you will own all those files, and you will be able to move them over. All right. Our next caller, Mike from Avon, New York. We had this Lima Lima discussion last week. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Kyle, I hear Chili.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talked to a gentleman last week that had a problem with a CD drive where when you were running some Sony audio CDs that disabled something in the CD
right
drive software to prevent you from looking
yeah it's
stuff.
A virus,
and you had a fix on that was on your website. Got a similar problem, but it's reverse, where we took out some games. This is Windows XP. Took out some games, and now I can't read or write photos to the CD drive. However,
yeah, often what happens is when you install games, they will change a lot of the internal files on Windows so that they run best, particularly if they're older games and weren't specifically designed to run on XP. Just because they say they will run on XP doesn't mean they were designed to run on XP.
Right.
Right, and, the older games.
And the older games in particular will change a lot of the files around. Then when you uninstall them, they don't change them back. At that point, the best thing you can do is reinstall Windows yep. over itself yep. to get rid of all those changed files and go back to the originals.
Be the easiest.
Changing the drive it from read-only, and it just keeps going back to read-only.
Right, but mm-hmm. you have to do what we just said. That
yeah.
theoretically will fix it. That's the only thing that will fix it because, like I said, a lot of the games, particularly the older ones, change some important files and then don't change them back.
Yep. And it's just a nightmare trying to sit there and nitpick and try to figure out which one did it.
Right.
You can spend
especially something as low level as the CD reader.
Yeah.
That's such a core feature to read CDs that, you know, why screw with it?
Yeah. Right. Well, because they get that extra little tweak of speed yeah. out of it, and mm-hmm. that's what it's about.
Two more frames out of Quake.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Our next caller is Roger from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
I got a question about running Security Tangle. Running XP Home Edition Service Pack 2, and I know you recommend that when you run the Tangle, you run it for each profile, correct?
Yes, you have to.
Okay, now when
let me correct one thing. You don't have to run the antivirus on each ID. It's mm-hmm. the other two parts. The Spybot and Adaware. Because when you run Stinger or you run your antivirus program, that literally does cover the whole hard drive. Okay. It's under Adaware and Spybot, they have to be run for each identity.
Okay, the question I have is I just built a new machine last week. And when I booted up in safe mode, even though I never entered two accounts, it's showing an account for Roger and one for administrator.
You always get the administrator account. Windows creates that itself.
Safe mode.
Okay, now will I have to run those two programs for both accounts?
No.
Have you ever signed in as administrator?
Yes, when I set up the machine.
And you were on the internet at that time?
Yes.
Well, there's spyware built into Windows. So a fresh install of Windows, even before you get on the internet, it'll find a couple of things.
It wouldn't hurt to run it once, but after that, if you never actually, you know, use that account, no.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to check. I thought that I was going to, you know, have that eliminated when I built a new machine. You know, I was all psyched up about it. First one I had ever built.
Right.
But, okay, well, that answers my question, because I'd wondered about that.
And now you know. That's us. We're solving people's problems and easing their mental anguish,
hopefully,
here on Soundbites.
The guy left his knapsack down there. We should go steal it.
Our next caller is Dave from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys. About a year ago, I burned some information, some files on about 9 CDs with Nero, and I went to try to retrieve some of them last week, and 3 of them, I can only read, like, the files, the name of the folders, but I can't get any of the other information out of it.
Were these generic, no-name, no-label CDs?
No, well, they're Memorex CDs, and they're all the same, and I tried to use to read them on 3 different CDs, and they all do the same thing. It takes forever, 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 and it just shows the folders, but when I go to click on one of them, it just...
When you burn these things, two things. Did you wouldn't remember it's a year ago if you got an error message. But when you burn these things, do you then do a verification at the same time, or do you skip the verification step?
No, I'd most definitely make sure that I do the verification. That's the most important.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
And you're trying to read them on the same drive you wrote them on.
I believe one of the CDs that I have, I'm sure, is one of the ones I used to burn them. And like I said, I tried all 3 of them that I have at home. So one of them was one of the ones that I burned them with, yeah. And I also used some kind of software program. I forget the name of it, but it supposedly can restore some, you know, like solve the problem that I have, but it doesn't work. It just, like, it runs for, I ran it for a whole day. And it just kept running and running and running. It couldn't retrieve anything from it.
Yeah, a lot of times we see this happening with the cheaper CDs where they're made so cheaply the reflective coating flakes off.
Right,
yeah.
But you wouldn't expect that from Memorex.
Yeah, name brand disc.
Well, not only that, I never touched one of them.
How were they stored?
They're
vertically or horizontally?
They were standing up.
In a jewel case?
Yes. Yeah, the slimline jewel cases.
Well, standing up is bad because the plastic...
Data falls off.
Well, the data falls off, yeah.
Yeah.
The plastic can warp a little bit.
It's sideways, that's what I thought. Rob. He doesn't believe me. The CDs are sideways. It slides right on off. Whereas if they're laying flat, they don't have an area to move.
Well, unfortunately, this is an issue with CDs. We don't know the longevity of writing CDs until you try it a year later and see if it works.
Right.
So make two copies of everything you want to keep for a while.
Yeah, I hate to say that, but that's true. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We've been talking... Oh, that wasn't good.
No, the police haven't shown up yet.
We've been talking about stats on computers, and there's a brand new thing coming out for you gamers. There's a company called Aegea. And they have a brand new processor called the PhysX processor, PhysX, which is going to bring better physics to computer games. Today's top shelf games, they're pretty good. You know, some of the graphics can be stunning, particularly when you're running on a fast PC with a fast graphics chip, a lot of RAM, speedy processor, yada, 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 yada.
Immersive, realistic.
But even the best games don't look completely realistic. The explosions aren't really realistic, the way water flows. Well, the thing that makes me craziest about all of the everything that's out there, all of the CGI work, gravity doesn't work right. Nothing falls right. People aren't heavy enough.
I always like that you shoot the wall and nothing happens.
Right. What they're saying now, Aegea is saying that the missing element is real-world physics, and they want to add a third processor, a physics processing unit, the PPU, that'll let developers add more physics processing to their games. Because physics computations are very processor-intensive, throwing too many at them will slow the CPU down, which slows down the entire game, so a lot of the game companies leave out real physics. Now, what they're saying is, with the PPU... you'll be able to have real physics.
F equals G quantity M1, M2 over R squared.
Exactly. And they don't have that now. Not really well. So they're going to do that. So along with the CPU and the GPU, the PPU forms what companies call the gaming power triangle. The CPU thinks and orchestrates. The GPU renders and displays. And the PPU moves
and interacts.
Now, right now, if you want to get a PhysX processor, you're buying a real high-end system. The Alienware, which also is now the Dell, or the Falcon. But it looks like in May, both Asus and BFG will ship retail PCI boards with the chip on. Estimated street price is about $300. Now, for you and me, that's a ludicrously large amount of money. Mm-hmm. But for anyone who's a real, serious, true gamer... That's nothing. They'll buy it in a hot New York minute if there are enough games to support it. So if you want to see what a PPU can do, Aegea has a PhysX demo at their website. We'll get that listed on our website at soundbites.org. Click on the links button and then click on the third one down, which says these are the links I heard on the show this week. And you'll be able to see... what the PhysX processor will do for you as a gamer. I know that a number of our Soundbites folks are gamers and that's something that interests them a lot.
Yeah, oh yeah, I mean, but that's the thing though. Well, you know, they keep coming out with this hardware and it's all great and folks will sit there and say, well, when should I get it? Well, the hardware and the software are constantly playing leapfrog.
Right.
And right now, the hardware is far advanced of the software people because they just can't keep up with it fast enough. You know, your dual core processors and the graphics cards and everything else constantly changing.
Yeah, unless you're rendering the next Narnia movie, you don't have a good enough computer.
Yeah, right.
And the hardware is at least three leaps ahead of the software right now. So you can get this great processor that'll do all this stuff, but it could be, you know, 5-6 months down the road before even a game comes out that can take advantage of it.
Well, but on the other side of that is what the problem that Microsoft is currently running into. And also both GNOME and KDE, which are the GUI front ends, two of the GUI front ends for Linux, they've outstripped the power of most machines. You need a very, very high-end machine to really see all the graphics stuff, the transparencies and all the sexy transitions.
That's what we're hearing about Vista. All the cool things Vista's going to do need a super whiz-bang video card that nobody has yet.
So either you're going to spend another $1,000 to buy a video card that shows it, or you're going to run it in compatibility mode, and it's going to look like what you've got now. Why did you bother to buy it? We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow, some computer talk that you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is Mark from Caledonia, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
How you doing, guys? I got a quick question. I just bought a brand new desktop PC, and you know how it comes with McAfee?
Yep. Yeah.
Now, I bought Norton 2006 security.
My sympathy to you.
Really?
Yeah, you just wasted some money.
Well, you know, two ways. The bundled antiviruses that come with new computers generally only last 30 or 60 days, right, and then you have to subscribe new. But we've been hearing a lot of problems with Norton 2006 causing more problems in Windows than it tries to fix.
Because I know it really slows down on startup now.
Yep. You got it!
Should I have disabled McAfee, though?
Well, yeah. You really should only be running one.
Yeah, one or the other.
The Norton installer should have said there's already one here. You should remove it first.
Right. Let me suggest that you completely uninstall Norton.
Okay.
I apologize that you went out and bought it. You should really get rid of it. But beyond that, if you're going to run antivirus, McAfee is fine.
Okay.
If you want to renew that at the end of the 3 months, that would be great. Or you can go to a free one like AVG.
Okay.
If you go to the securitytango.com website, securitytango.com, you will be able to get, there's a link there to AVG. It's at free.grisoft.com. But if you go to securitytango.com, you'll see a link there for AVG antivirus.
Okay, great, guys. Thank you very much.
Okie doke, thank you. And let us remind everybody that, again, at the Security Tango website, on the left you'll see Tango links, and there's a bunch of them. The fourth one down will be how you can get your CD.
If you want to order a CD.
You know, there's a lot of stuff in the Tango itself, and then there are a bunch of extra nifty things that Dave has put all on a CD. So for those of you, particularly those of you who are still on dial-up, or for people who think perhaps their machine has already been compromised and downloading stuff to a compromised machine will compromise it before you can even install it, getting the CD from Dave will let you make sure that everything that's on it is clean.
One of the other things that I've added on, just to give you an idea, one of the things that I used to like with Microsoft Office was that toolbar that you could have. Well, I found I can't take the credit for it. My partner, Dan, found this great utility that it looks like a Mac that you can have this toolbar across the top. And as you touch it, it sort of magnifies it. But you can add various things like Word, Excel, and other things to this toolbar that's up there floating.
Cool.
So you can select it and have it right at your fingertips.
Cool. And also at the Security Tango website, the third choice down is my new blog. Like I said, it's not a big deal yet, but I'm putting in stuff for. For security, various security things. So if you check that every day, whenever there's a new security thing out, you'll be able to read about it there. Well, our next caller is Mike from Rochester, New York. What's your question, Mike?
Okay, Steve.
yeah.
I wanted to know, particularly since you're Lennox, but it's addressed to the entire team because you guys are resellers as well. Sure. I mean, the other two.
Right.
Who's what, where, and cost? I want to, you know, moderate to up. You know, I want it to be able to function 6 months down the road, at best we know. You know, with the dual processors and, you know, all that's going on with the AMD 64X2 and all that, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So, you know, who's what?
What operating system are you going to run?
I'm going to start new, and I want to use all the goodies that you recommend.
Windows, Linux, Mac?
No, Linux.
Okay.
Linux machine.
Your best bet
question
at this point, if you can do an AMD 64.
Yep.
Yeah.
That processor as fast as you can get it.
Yeah, that's who's AMD 64.
You
right?
want a minimum of a gig of RAM, and more is better.
I want more.
Yeah, two gig is fine.
How many? What do you think minimum?
Two.
One.
No, two.
2 gig?
I like two.
I do two.
Yeah, his memory is relatively inexpensive.
Yeah, at least 256 meg on your video card. Now, depending on which version of Linux you get, you'll want either an ATI or an NVIDIA card because they have native chips. ATI, in fact, I think is a little better.
No kidding.
In terms of the in terms of support around under Linux.
Okay, I think NVIDIA's got the name.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
The jazz.
But they're both very good.
Now where? Because I know, for example,
both Dave and Steve can put a machine like that together for you. So give them a call.
Yeah, because I've been checking with Dell and I've been checking with AMD.
Well, you can go to my website, nwritepc.com, and I have a screen there that you can customize and select what you want in a system. Email it to me, and we can do up a quote for you.
And the AMD 64 is great because most of the systems, most of the Linux distributions will do 64-bit, and all of the programs that come with it will be 64-bit right from scratch. So everything works just the way it should work. Well, it looks to me like we are actually done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Time for us to take off before the police get here. We'll be back here next week, of course. A very happy holiday to everybody, whether it's Easter, Passover, whatever it is you celebrate. A happy holiday to you. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton. I'm Nick Francesco. See you next week.